It's 4:43 here on Downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan in the house with us. Survive the very busy holiday weekend for you at the store.
Yeah, we had a fantastic holiday weekend, and thank you to all who came out, and thank you to Mother Nature for holding back that storm an extra 24 hours so that we could all engage in capitalism and then enjoy the fruits of said capitalism with our loved ones in the safety of our own homes, as opposed to having to try and do last minute Christmas shopping and getting staff in and out. And that was big. Shout out to Mother Nature again.
Yeah, that was perfect.
That was wonderful. But no, honestly, really, really nice to see you all and so many of you. It's the best time of year because you always forget just how many great regular customers you have, and it's just amazing. You're like, oh, I've seen everybody, and then the next day you're like, wow, hi, how you doing? It's great because almost everybody's in a good mood, and of course you do have those one or two people who are the exception to the rule, and you just try to get them out as happily as you can and as quickly as you can.
Exactly.
And then you just shrug your shoulders at the next people in line and move on. And of course, naturally, our point of sale system did, of course, you know, as is tradition. If there's any good holiday tradition. Oh, every year. Every year at the busiest time when there's 12 people deep, you make them all stand there while you restart your computer and restart your computer and restart your little credit card swipey thing. And yeah, technology is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. No problems with that.
But hey, you know what you do? You sit back and you relax and everybody smiles and kind of chuckles and we move on.
You had a nice Christmas round the Meehan household?
Yeah, except my parents, God bless them, are ultra stubborn, which is absolutely where I get it and my kids get it. And so at the height of, they came up early to avoid the storm. And they because we have a house where the guest room is pretty much like a dumping room, so we really don't have any good place for them to stay, and they're cool with that. So they stay at one of the places out on Oddland. And so at around, you know, noon, in the height of the storm, they're like, yeah, I think we're just going to go back there, and we'll meet you at the in-laws later. I'm like, oh,
wow.
What? But, you know, I think they wanted to do Subaru stuff, just like I wanted to do truck stuff.
And, yeah.
And they did Subaru stuff all the way back to Oddland from my house, and they were fine. And I spent about 20 minutes with my, you know, heart in my throat saying, then my father even joked about it. This is what killed me. He was like, you know, in the spring they'll find us. I'm like,
oh, thanks, Dad. Yeah, thank you.
You're approaching your 80th birthday, Dad. I mean, really, any good son would stop you from going, but I'm not a good son, apparently. So
drive safely.
I was like, hey, Subaru stuff, do it.
You got a Subaru, you're good.
Honestly, and they were, and which is fantastic, and my new snowblower worked as well.
So oh, very good.
That's enough reason to drink the bubbles that we're about to drink.
Yes.
So anyway, hi folks. We're finishing the year as we always do, talking about bubbles because naturally New Year's is coming up, and I did want to thank you all for listening for the past year, and we'll be doing it again if Rich will keep having me.
Please.
Again next year. And so I did want to, you know, remind you that basically for the 6 months of the beginning of the year, we sort of talk about how to appreciate and buy and explore wine. And then for the next 6 months, we talk about all the regions of the world, and we'll be doing that again. But with new and exciting twists, because frankly, I have a bad memory and I forget what I said a whole year ago. Although God bless customers for coming in and saying, hey, you remember me?
No.
Yeah, I'm the guy who fixed the leaky thing upstairs that was dripping on your bottles 6 months ago. I was like, well, thank you, but I'm sorry. Like, I don't remember what I ate yesterday for breakfast. So, so we'll figure it out, and I probably won't repeat myself too much. So I want to talk, actually, this came up a lot during the holidays, and so I figured it's exactly what we'd talk about, is the different styles of sparkling wine, because I think people just kind of assume it's all the same. And so the wine that we're going to be having today, and a lot of the famous sparkling wine, is made in a méthode traditionnelle, classical, or champenoise, if it's in Champagne. Other people might call it champenoise, but the champenoise lay claim to it. Of course, you can't call anything except champagne, even though people do throw it on labels from time to time. But this is the most expensive and time-consuming, labor-intensive way of making sparkling wine. And therefore, it does tend to be the most expensive in terms of the products on the shelf. Champagne is expensive because champagne has really good marketing. but still, a lot of the things, like we have a really nice, you know, method traditional Cabernet Sect from Austria, and the wine today from Austria that we're drinking again, same way. So this is a two-stage fermentation process, right? With the second stage happening in the bottle. So the wine obviously is not naturally bubbling. And the way they do it in Champagne and a lot of other places like Cava for Spain and others is that they have still wine, and they usually have a blend of different still wines that achieve what they call a house style, right? Like they're non-vintage wines. Typically they do vintage, you know, sparkling wines, but we're talking about sort of your basic, your Tattinger, your Veuve, things like that. They have a blend of different wines, usually from different years even, and they're actually quite acidic because they kind of mellow out with the addition of some with the process of the fermentation. But they're very sort of enamel searing wines, and they blend them and they find this style, the right taste. And then what they do is they put the wine into a bottle and they add what is called liqueur de tirage. So basically it's sugar water, which will restart the yeast that's left over in the wine that's in there. And then they seal the bottle and they turn it over. And so if anybody's ever seen when they by hand, they turn this thing, it's called riddling. And what they're doing is essentially moving all the yeast and the lees, which is all the, you know, the junk that's still in sort of in solution. And it all falls to the bottom of the neck of the bottle. And then what they do eventually is they disgorge it. And disgorging is when they pop that top really quick, get all the lees and junk out, replace it with a little bit more wine and sugar, cork it so that there's still a lot of pressure being built up in there. And that's what you get. And that's very work intensive. And yes, they do have machines that can kind of do some of it, but the best places are still, you know, they still have a lot of this done by hand. And that's why it's very expensive. Now, Proseccos and things like that are made with the Charmat method. It's also two-stage, but the second stage happens in a huge pressurized vat, not in individual bottles, right? So it's way, way, way cheaper to do this, which is why I'm annoyed that some Proseccos are costing as much as the things that cost a lot more to do. But there's certain Proseccos that are made from, you know, single vineyard stuff, so it's okay. But that's what you're getting when you're getting Prosecco or some of these other sparkling wines from Chile that we sell, which I think are delightful. It's not that it's bad. It's that the bubbles are just a little bit bigger and, you know, and it shouldn't be necessarily as expensive. But that doesn't mean it's bad. In fact, it doesn't need, you know, a couple cheap bubbles that are good.
Right.
And so good Proseccos, whatever, you can find them for $12-$13 and be very, very happy with that. The last method, and you'll see this occasionally, and we have a couple of examples in the store, and you'll, but probably not in big supermarkets. They're kind of like what we call hand sells, right? Like you need to be told what they are. But there's sort of the ancestral methods, and that's where the fermentation is stopped, usually because they chill it down so cold, that, the yeast will stop working, and then they'll bottle it, and then they'll warm it up essentially, so the yeast starts working, so that the fermentation, the CO2 that's being produced during the fermentation is being trapped in that bottle. That's called the ancestral. It's very easy, but it's also easy to screw up. So that's why not a lot of people do it, but it's really cool. It produces really, really neat wines. If you can find any, I do encourage you to check them out. But those are the three main styles of sparkling wine. And so when you're going out to buy your bubbles for New Year's, be aware that, you can ask for this or ask for that, but if your friendly neighborhood wine merchant throws something in there sort of from left field, be open to it. There's a lot of places that make sparkling wine that you won't necessarily have thought of. A classic one for me, by the way, I didn't think to bring it today, is Riesling Sekt from Germany. So it's not sweet, folks. Like I know everybody hears Riesling and they think it's sweet. And of course, if we've talked about anything, we've talked about the fact that Riesling, just like anything else, can be made sweet or dry. But Riesling Sekt is a really, really, it's done in Méthode Champenoise. Yeah. And it's absolutely, I mean, think of, you know, the beautiful aromas of Riesling, and that's what you get in a Sekt. And as I was mentioning before, Austria makes some absolutely gorgeous sparkling wine. We do have, like I said, this sparkling Cabernet Sauvignon at the store, lightly rosé, absolutely beautiful. And the wine we're drinking today is a total staff favorite. Like, this is so easy to drink.
This is wonderful.
And so this is the grape Blaufränkisch. Blaufränkisch is not really seen anywhere else, maybe just a little bit in the Alp Mountains and a little bit down into Switzerland, but really sort of an Austrian specialty. And you can kind of think of, you know, Gamay or Pinot Noir, like a lighter skinned grape, really makes fun stuff. And this wine here, this is from Tinhoff, young guy, but I believe he's 11th generation winemaker, makes this with just a little bit of sugar in it. So you can taste just a little bit of off dry, kind of juicy, really nice. And we're going to, it was our wine of the week last week, but I'm going to continue that into this week because it's so good and we need to have this in people's hands and glasses and mouths for the new year. But this also is just a nice rosé. Also, don't be afraid of rosés. I mean, I keep talking about that, but like...
drink more rosé.
Drink more rosé. And there's a lot of really good bubbly rosé out there. For those who are interested in higher end, we have a really nice grower champagne rosé, as well as... And I know that I kind of trash Veuve on a general basis because Veuve is... It is mass-produced champagne. It's really... It tastes good, but they make a lot of it, folks. But their rosé is actually exquisite. It's not... They don't make a lot of it. And we do have that, so if you want to check that out and sort of throw a curveball for your favorite Veuve lover, do that. And come on in and check it out. I do want to mention our hours. They're not special hours, but I do want to mention them. So for New Year's Eve, we traditionally close early on a day when we would close at 8, but we are open from 12 to 4 on Sundays anyway, so that's what we're going to do, 12 to 4 on Sunday. For all your last-minute New Year's needs, but, of course, regular hours up until then, 10 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And we look forward to helping you pick out all your stuff for the end of 2017. And I do hope that everybody has a wonderful 2018. I know a lot of folks have had a rough 2017.
It's got to get better, right?
It must. And,
there's always wine.
Well, I was going to say either way. Either way, as you look forward to 2018, do come in to Bangor Wine, and we'll set you up for better or for worse.
Yeah. Focus on those things. Focus on the things you can control.
That's what I'm saying. But for now, I'm going to head home. It's Bon Me night.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, one of our guests couldn't make it to the dinner last night, so she said, can I just come over tomorrow? And I said, hey, we'll do pork belly.
Fantastic.
Maybe a new tradition. They know what they're doing.
Thanks for making me at least sound smarter. I was talking to my in-laws, and we shared some wonderful wine from the store, and I was talking to them about the phylloxera virus and there viticulture, and I sounded like I knew a few things.
Finally, your father-in-law is like, she married well. That's good. He was worried for a while, I know.
Oh, there's still some concern, I'm sure.
That's just fine. You made him shovel.
I didn't
he
make
made
him.
No,
he might have encouraged him not to.
Yeah.
He insisted on
so
it.
So it's good. So, you know, I have a stubborn father. You have a stubborn father-in-law.
Am I going to say no?
Well, we're men. We're just stubborn.
Right.
I think that's really what it's going to be. I'm sure I'm going to be the stubborn father or father-in-law if I make it that long.
Yeah.
My kids might kill me first.
Well, I hope not right away. We'd like to get another year out of you.
Well, I'll do my best.
Thank you, Eric.
Cheers.
Happy New Year. Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. With our message in the bottle.